All right, go back to first John 21, Gospel of John, chapter 21. Let's read verses 1 through 5 again. That we just read them. I was greatly blessed. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise, and he showed himself. There were together Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael, Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, We also go with them. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. It says in verse 1 that the Lord showed himself again to his disciples. You know, this is what eternal life is. That's what the Lord said in John 17. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he hath sent, to know him. And only how we know him? We looked a while ago. Not by wisdom, but God must reveal his Son to us. He must show himself. He must show himself to us. This is life eternal, that we might know the Christ, the Son of God, who he is. Who he is. Why he came. What he did. Why he did it. Did he do this for us? That's life eternal. He is. This is life, and it's joy, and it's comfort, and it's rejoicing, and it's consolation if Christ continues to show himself to you. Who he is. Who he is. Again and again. It says this was the third time that he'd showed himself to these disciples. Well, how many times has he shown himself to us? Before whose eyes, Scripture says, he hath been so evidently set forth. Huh? You see, all the disciples, their doubts and fears, and they had plenty of them. When the Lord showed himself, every time that he showed himself to them, sovereign Lord, their Savior, in every sense of the word, every time he showed himself again to them, who he was, all their doubts and fears went away. For a while. Until he had to show himself again. You see what I'm saying? That's why we keep coming back here, don't we? We fill up doubts and fears like sheep and prone to go astray. And well, anyway, he showed himself again to them. And oh, thank the Lord, if he shows himself to you and if he keeps showing himself. Verse 2, they were together. Simon, Thomas, they were together. James, John, Simon. Starts with Simon. Nearly always, the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit brings up Simon first. He was the first chosen. But I believe for this reason. He's the poorest one of the bunch. He really was. Poor old Simon. Poor old Simon. But I believe the Lord chose him, not because he was the best. Although, you know, he was a fine man. He was a strong man, bold. Sometimes. But the Lord chose him to show forth his mercy that endures forever, his continued grace. And old Simon, poor old Simon. What about Thomas? He mentions Thomas next. What about him? What do we call people? Doubting Thomas, you know. Poor old Simon. And doubting Thomas. This was a poor bunch of fellows is what these were. They hadn't now, after three some years, they hadn't now become great men. They have, to us, reading it, but to themselves. No, they're getting ready to just go fishing. This is how they started. This is where the Lord found them. And they're going back to it. I remember years ago my pastor preaching a message, "The King and His Motley Crew." I'll never forget that. It was such a blessing to me. This was a motley crew, wasn't it? Simon, Thomas, Matthew, tax collector, publican. But they were together. The motley crew, but they were a crew. And they were nearly always together. That's where the Lord chose them all and He put them all together. Together. Every word is significant in Scripture. They were together. Aren't you thankful to be a part of this motley crew? Aren't you thankful to be a part of this poor congregation, this poor assembly of people? Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Aren't you thankful, though, to be a part of this? But when you will quit being thankful and a part of is when you begin to be better than. That's always the case. When you're better than. But they were together. And the Lord, now that they are together, and the Lord is going to show Himself to them while they're together. You get the point here? Our Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together, I'm right there in the middle of them." I have been greatly blessed in private many times. I really have. Greatly blessed. There have been times preparing a message and I thought that I was in the Holy of Holies. Right in the inner room. The upper room. But I mean this, honestly. I mean that. As much as I've enjoyed those times and been blessed, I've never been blessed like I have been and am together with you and with other believers. Never. See, everything's always better together. Isn't it? Everything. Work. There have been many times that I've been down and by myself digging a ditch or something. I'm just complaining. You know, you do it too. Oh, poor me. Nobody works as hard as I do. Don't you think that's what you do when you're alone? But if you're together, it doesn't matter how hard it is, does it, Sam? It's I was going to say fun, and some things never fun. But it's not quite like work when there's two. We had yesterday, and I'm so thankful, we had the best turnout we've ever had for this work day here. But was it work? Honestly, those of you, was it work? That was enjoyable, wasn't it? And Davis and Joseph, where's old Joseph? Where'd he go? Oh, I appreciate you young fellas coming to help. I really do. Elizabeth, Lauren, thank you. I really do thank you for that. They didn't seem to mind. They came up. Bunch of old people working at the church. You know, when the Lord, the church is not the church. As Virgie would say, that church. It's family. Everybody pitches in. It's not work. It's not work at all. It doesn't seem like it. It all gets done together. That's worth bringing up. Food's more enjoyable than it. Isn't food more enjoyable? Laughter. I've seen things. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell it. Illustrations are good. Everything's always better when somebody's around to share it with you, to enjoy it together, isn't it? It's always better that way. Laughter, sight, sound. Brother Jack Shanks was out playing golf with Gary Border. Some of you know Gary. I got to tell this. And they were out playing golf, and Brother Jack and Gary. And I don't care what you think about golf, Stan. Stan thinks it's silly. Anyway, but old Brother Jack enjoys it, and so I say it's good. If that old fella, if faithful servant gets some enjoyment from it, I say it's worth it. He's entitled to it. But anyway, he was out playing with Gary, and Gary Borders hit a good shot. Ron, Gary hit a good shot. Jack, just he and Jack. And Gary said, "Boy, I wish somebody had been here to see that." And you know, Jack said, "Hey, lie somebody?" Well, what he meant was, I wish more people had been here. Have you ever been that way? I wish more people had been here. You, and there have been so many, how many times have you thought, "Oh, I wish the world could have heard that, been in on this." But they weren't, but we are. Here we are. These fellows were together. And the Lord's going to show Himself mightily, powerfully, wonderfully to them. Fellowship. And truly, our fellowship. We have fellowship together sometimes, and we meet together, and you might, the conversation might not turn to the gospel. You hope it does. You want it to. That's your hope. But it doesn't always. That root of the matter is there, though. That's what joins you. That's what unites you. But this right here, this is it. Truly, this is our fellowship. Right here, what we're doing now. I love church, you know, meals and all that, but this is it. This is the table. This is where we all gather together around the table. Fellowship of the saints, fellowship of the mystery, fellowship of the gospel. There is no other fellowship otherwise. And I've made this statement before, and I'll stick by it, that I'm not going to befriend someone too much until they're Christ's friend. You see, people can fall in love with you. They can be your friend and buddy and all that and not know Christ and never know Christ. That's not what you want. What you hope and pray for is that they'll fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That He'll reveal Himself to them. And then if they are, oh, we're going to be best friends. If the Lord reveals Himself to your husband, or your son, or your son-in-law, we're going to be best friends. See, all believers have a bunch of best friends. Together, truly. Well, verse 3, they were together, and Peter, here he is. Peter speaks up. See, Peter's real impulsive. He's impetuous. Impetuous means runs and does things without thinking. Impulsive means without thinking. Impetuous means bold to do it. He rushes headlong. Impulsive, impatient, he just can't wait. Now, the Lord has already revealed Himself to him. This is 8 days later. But yet the Lord didn't tell them what they were going to do. They believe the Lord. They trust Him. They're not leaving the Lord Himself. But they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know where to turn, what the future holds, so to speak. They don't know. So Peter said, "Well, got to do something, don't we?" No. But Peter says, "I'm going fishing." I guess preaching's over. Well, what he meant was he's going back to his old lifestyle. That's what he meant. They didn't fish for fun, Ron. That long ceased to be fun to them. You understand? Kelly, do you ride horses for fun? It long ceased to be fun. Like the railroad, used to work on the railroad, you know, and on the locomotive. Some of you think, "Boy, you could ride on a locomotive? That'd have to be a dream come true, don't you?" Seriously. I remember thinking that. You'd be surprised how many people used to ask me how big the steering wheel is on a locomotive. Some of you, I can tell you think there is one. It's on rails, people. You don't steer it. Anyway, you'd be surprised how many times I've been asked that. But anyway, you think, "Well, that's so romantic, isn't it? That's so..." Whew. Not too long ago, I was in Orlando, Florida, and I thought, "I'm going to try Amtrak." I hadn't been on a train in years. I've been on a train in years, on purpose, by choice. I didn't want to get on another train. Anyway, I got on Amtrak. And after taking that ride, I know why. Now, I knew why. I hadn't been on a train in years. Anything that could happen went wrong, went wrong. Anything bad, it took about 14 hours for me to get home. The engine broke down. All kinds of delays and stops. It was a miserable, one of the most miserable trips I've ever had. So what I'm saying is they didn't go fishing. They weren't going fishing for fun. It long ceased to be fun for them. They're going back to fishing. And folks, I can't tell you how many times I've quit this. How about you? I don't mean renounce the Lord, renounce the truth, but just want to go off somewhere and to yourself. And anybody else? Come on, you're afraid to admit it. I'm just going to just leave. Huh? Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said, we're coming with you. I'm coming with you. So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And they went night fishing all night. That's a real fisherman, isn't it? Night fishing. Went out in the darkness. And this is, everything is by design in Scripture. Everything's on purpose. They didn't fish all day. It says they fished all night. They were in the darkness, you see. All night long they toiled and labored in darkness. They went out in darkness and worked all night. And what did they catch? It says they, that night, all night, they caught nothing. Nothing. You see, the Lord, Scripture says, is light. John 1, and this John, who wrote this, begins this gospel by saying, he's light. Begins the first epistle. God is light. In him is no darkness. But here's the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. If the Lord, Jesus Christ, who is light, is not with you. Now listen to me. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not with you, if you're not in him, he not in you, you're in darkness. And listen to me, especially the young people. You can labor all your life, toil all your life, and try to come up with something. Try to find whatever, peace, happiness, contentment, fulfillment. You can labor all you will, all your life. And if you're without Christ, you're going to end up in outer darkness. And none of these things will fulfill. None of them. You'll labor all your life, and when it's all over, what will you have? Nothing. Honestly. Nobody wants to die. Why is that? Because all these things and people and stuff that they've accumulated don't want to leave it. This is everything to most people. And when it comes to they're going to lose it all, and they don't know what's out there, it's all darkness and mystery to the unbeliever, to the world. And they don't want to leave this place. They hold on with all that they can to this stuff. You see, because if they lose all this, they've got nothing. But if Christ reveals himself to you, you can lose it all and still have everything. Oh, but they toil all night and caught nothing. And that's by design. But verse 4, when the morning was now come. The morning was now come. They toiled all night. But now the morning's come. Don't you love that verse, Nancy? You're thinking about it, aren't you? Weeping endures for a night. But joy. Within the morning. What is the morning? What makes it morning? The sun. That day star. that rises with healing in its wings. Oh, don't you love that Psalm 130? My soul waiteth for thee more than they that watch for the morning. Everything's so bad at night. Troubles are so much worse, aren't they? But when the sun starts coming up, there's hope, isn't it? There's hope. There's warmth. There's, morning was now come. Yeah, he was. He's standing on shore. Morning. And would that God would deliver someone out of darkness this morning. That's my prayer. That's my hope. Well, it says he stood on the shore. The morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was him. Everyone in this room is in God Almighty's hands. Scripture says that God in whose hands our breath is in all our ways. Let me go a step further. God has put all things into the hands of, or under the authority, the reign, the rule of Jesus Christ. All reign and rule has been given to Jesus Christ. That's why he's called Lord. That means Lord, and that means he's Lord of lords. That means king, sovereign, reigning, ruling over all things, all flesh. He said, all authority is given unto me over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. See, it's not, we don't have it. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Don't care what they have, it's not life. Because it'll die. But if the Son gives you life, who is life, you'll have life and can't kill it. It's the life of God, the life of the Spirit, eternal life. Well, all of us are under the reign, rule, in the hands of Jesus Christ to do with as he pleases. Every one of us. Young and old alike. Every one of us. Though some don't know him. They don't know him. Some people don't know. That's why Scripture says, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? All these people that go by and don't give God a thought. God is not in all their thoughts. Christ is not in their thoughts. They don't know who God is. They don't know who Christ is. Don't care. They don't know him. Whew. The creature doesn't know the Creator. The guilty don't know the judge. Don't know the needed advocate. Can you imagine how foolish, how ignorant people are, aren't they? And we're the same. Who made us to differ? These disciples didn't know him. You know, this is exactly the way the Lord found them. It's amazing. This is exactly the way the Lord revealed himself to them the first time he chose them. 3 years earlier, 3.5 years earlier. Yes, sir. They were all fishing. And it says they fished all night and caught nothing. And the Lord was on the shore and said, cast your net over here. They said, teacher, Peter, master, we've been doing this for years. They didn't know him. Nevertheless, Barbara, that's how the Lord revealed himself to them the first time. And here in the end, he's revealing himself to them again the same way. You know, this is exactly the way the Lord continues to reveal himself to his people. The same way. After all these years of toiling and laboring and doing what you will, what do you got? And the Lord said in verse 5, this is a profound question, isn't it? Children, have you any meat? He knew, didn't he? He's not asking this for information. The Lord God doesn't ask anything for information. He's omniscient. It means he knows all things. When he asked Adam where he was, he knows where he is. When he asked Jacob his name, he knew his name. He's demanding that Jacob confess his name. Cheat. He's demanding that Adam see, look where you are now. And he's saying to these disciples, he knew they didn't have him. He knew that. And he's demanding of them and forcing them to confess that they've labored all night and they have nothing. You have any meat? A Now, the first thing I want you to notice, though, is he calls them children. I issued a disclaimer for my preaching this morning. One of the things I got to quit doing is laughing. Like I just did. I am so glad it doesn't depend on me. I am so glad. You don't know how glad I am, how dependent I am on the Holy Spirit. How glad and thankful I am that it doesn't depend on the words I say and the way I say it. I am so thankful that this thing is totally up to the Lord, that He works in spite of me. Oh, how thankful I am. I'm a nobody from nowhere. But sometimes I can't help but laugh when I see these things. I don't know why. It's joyful. It causes me pleasure to consider it. That's what it is. It causes me pleasure. Children. He calls them children. Now, these are 35-year-old men, 40-year-old men. Maybe 45. We don't know the ages. Some of them may have been 50. He calls them children. And I thought, what a great blessing to know that you're a child. Oh, you know that only God's children know their children? Huh? They shall all be taught of God. I got to quit hollering too in my preaching tonight. But something's got to be shouted. Our Lord quoted Isaiah in John 6, verse 45, says, they shall all be taught of God. And what that says over there in Isaiah 54 is, all thy children, verse 13, all thy children shall be taught of God. And our Lord said, and every man that hath heard and learned of the Father comes to me. Children, our Lord kept saying that to them, didn't it? Except you be converted and become as little children, you're not entering the kingdom of heaven. Not going to be there. Not going to be there. Except you receive the word of God as a little child, you're not going to be there. Children. I don't know who it was. Someone and I were talking about how amazing this was, that the Lord Jesus Christ was 33 years old, 30, 32, 33 at the time, talking to one of these men. Now, he's a man. The Lord is a man in human flesh. It was you, wasn't it, Kelly? You and I were. The Lord was a man, a human, a flesh and blood man. And he'd be standing there talking to another man, like Thomas, who might have been older than him in human years. A man, flesh and blood. And he says, children. And they receive it. And they're not offended. It's a man. No, they know this is not just a man here talking. John wrote to his epistle, said, little children. Nobody was offended. God's children aren't. Not offended. See, children. And all flesh, Paul wrote, they that are the children of the flesh, they're not the children of God. But the children of the promise are. Children of the promise are counted for the seed. The promise? The promised one. Christ is the firstborn among. He's God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he doesn't mind being called Son of God. Does he? He's God. He's the Father, but he's the Son. But he was so submissive to the Father, and childlike in malice. And he says that of us. Children by adoption. How are God's people children? Adoption. What's that? Choice. You choose. Today you don't much. You used to. Robin used to go back in days of old into an adoption agency or an orphanage And there's a whole bunch of children in there, and none of them worth having. Ragamuffins over in England. There were lots of orphanages. Ragamuffins. Brother Charles Spurgeon opened one. Boy, that'd been a good one to be in. But you'd go in these orphanages and you would choose the child. But that's exactly what God Almighty did. A bunch of ragamuffins. And He makes His choice. He doesn't choose by, you know, this one, well, he looks good. Oh, no. Not many wise, mighty, or noble are called or chosen. But He chooses the base of things that are nothing, things that are not. You see your calling, don't you, brother? Children by God's choice, not our choice.